This is Professor Allen, and welcome to the Quarter Bin. In every episode of this podcast, I will summarize, criticize, discuss, and review a single issue from my comic book collection, which I will more or less select at random, unless we're dealing with a comic book-related national holiday. So for this 183rd episode of the Quarter Bin Podcast, I'm looking at the books I acquired via Free Comic Book Day 2022, because, as you smart listeners are keenly aware, free is less than 25 cents. Mathematically speaking, free is more than 80% less than 25 cents, which is why we have made the proclamation that the first Saturday in May, forthwith and heretofore, the official national holiday of the Quarter Bin Podcast. But first things first, we'll start with a little feedback. Sir, Dr. Ange, proprietor of the excellent blog Comic Box Commentary, commented actually on the last two episodes. First, I can't believe I forgot to comment on the Not Brand Ech episode. I truly laughed out loud at the limericks involving creators. And I freely admit that Ms. Tree is a hole in my comic knowledge. Never read anything with her in it. I've seen the random issues here and there in the cheap bins, and have always been tempted. Now I will make sure to give it a try. Thank you, Doc. Glad to hear that the humor comic made you laugh at least once. Mission accomplished. And yes, to you and anyone, if you like the PI genre, definitely grab some mystery issues if you find a decent run. And of course, if you find that decent run at a decent price. Chris from Professor Frenzy commented, great host, great book, great show. Great tweet, Chris. Thank you. Very kind. And co-listener of the year, Sir Martin of Grey, who, by the way, has done a heck of a job as one of Billy D's rotating co-hosts on the All-Star Squadron podcast, A World on Fire, said that this was your best episode for ages, and they're all great. I've only read the DC mystery run, but I like those issues a lot. We've got a compelling lead character, fair play mysteries, and crisp, clean art. The only thing I didn't think worked was Michael's hairdo, which was a bowl cut on top and curly at the sides. It spoke of the 20s and 30s when the stories were set in the present, and it was pretty unattractive, just too severe. Given the concentration on the mob family, I wonder how Max Allen Collins would have done with Helena Bertinelli's strip after the crisis. He seems tailor-made to manipulate the mob princess through thrilling mystery tales in Gotham. And yes, good on Collins for making his writer character just a normal, cautious person when there are gunshots around. And may you have a great May, Martin. Thank you, Mart. I am a big fan of the Bertinelli version of Huntress, and yes, Collins could potentially have made that character work, I think. That's a good thought. Thank you. And in terms of Ms. Tree's hair, I do think they were probably going for a throwback look, something that harkened back to the 30s and 40s, the golden age of gritty noir PI drama. But like you said, that's not necessarily a good enough reason for making, what did you say, a pretty unattractive hairstyle just too severe. And speaking of Billy D, he called it a good episode, then added, so Michael Tree times three? Yes, that is exactly the case. Nicholas Prom called Ms. Tree a great series, which I totally agree with. And Darren Sutherland said, it's always great to hear you talk about Ms. Tree. Thank you, Darren. Robert Ludwig, the most sane man among us, said that whenever he sees a Ms. Tree book, he thinks of me. Isn't that sweet? This one intrigued me, and I may have to see if I can find some of these next time I go looking. You do that, Robert. Money back refund guaranteed. Just to clarify, that's money back on the price you paid for the podcast episode, not for the comic book, just so, legally speaking, we're clear. Okay. Social media love for last episode came from the Lady Laurel Mountainflower One from the Huntress podcast, Ed Moore of Teal Productions, Dave's Comic Heroes blog, Bill from the Batpod, The Telltale Mind, Jeremiah from comics.blog, Trevor Owen Williams, Chris Lydon 7, Sir Dr. Ange, Ranger Gord from Prairie Justice, Greg Sanders Vigilante podcast, Pat from the Long Box Crusade, The Remedial Shag, from Fire and Water, Al Sedano, Karen and James Williams, Sir Luke Ciacchinetti, from the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Network, Vic and Phoenix, Chris Willett, Clinton, from Fan Film Fridays, and voice actor Eugene R. Hendricks. Thank you all for that support. Let's take a break here before hopping into Free Comic Book Day discussion, analysis, and review. And we have no promos for this episode. This time, we're going to score the episode with a song entitled Symphonic Vision from a band that I believe is also called Symphonic Vision that I discovered probably 20 years ago on a royalty-free music website. And I've been unable to find any information about the band or the song online pretty much since then. Enjoy. And we're back. It's time to move on to the main event for this episode, Free Comic Book Day. And on prior Free Comic Book Day episodes, which are episodes 51, 73, 98, 118, 135, and 173, on those episodes, I talked about sort of my lifetime of comic book shopping habits and also revealed the shocking truth that 2015 was my first Free Comic Book Day ever. Now, to be fair, M partook of the event a couple of times before that when they were at college. So in a sense, Relatively Geeky has been involved in Free Comic Book Day for over a decade. At least, that's the story I'm telling myself. So for this year, for this episode, I want to talk about my plans for the day itself, the stores, the travel, and the company I anticipate having during my travels. I'm recording this bit a few days before FCBD. So here, I'm just going to talk prospectively about my plans for the day. And let me start by saying, I really like my main LCS, World's Greatest Comics in Westerville, Ohio. But over the last year or so, they've been moving away from the discount comics. I think during COVID, they discovered that they did pretty well with both online auctions and online retailing and selling, in essence, you know, wall books, more valuable books. And so it seems like maybe they're moving the store in that direction, which is totally their choice, of course. Now, at one point, though, this was my main, well, only source for quarter books. Because to be honest, it was the last reliable source I had for quarter books. But after last year's Free Comic Book Day, which you may remember was in August, I think, after having a month of sales leading up to the day, they pulled the cheap books off the floor. Now, by then, their cheap books were a buck, having eliminated the quarter boxes a few years before that. But they did have regular sales, anniversary sale, free comic book day sales, where they would discount those books sometimes to a quarter, sometimes even a dime. But I think maybe those days are gone. So I don't anticipate adding a ton of books to the Quarter Bin database as time goes by, because I don't know that I'll have access to many additional quarter books. Now, fear not. There are enough in there to keep us busy. But like I said, it seems that quarter bins themselves are gone. And as far as World's Greatest goes, maybe the dollar bins are gone too. But that being said, I'm nothing if not loyal, so that's going to be our first stop of the day. They open at 10 o'clock, the earliest of the shops that we're going to hit. Oh, and by we, I mean myself, Mrs. Quarterbin, and Mrs. Quarterbin's twin brother, Phil. The three of us did FCBD last year, had a great time, and decided to repeat the experience. And of course, having Valerie with me enables us to acquire twice as many free comics as I could otherwise. You'd think it would be three times as many with Phil. But Phil's also a comic fan himself, so I don't even ask to borrow his for a few days to read them first. Now, unfortunately, M is working all day that day, so they won't be able to join us. Now, I'm pretty sure that World's Greatest will be doing a free comic book day event at their store, but I'm not 100% sure because they mention on their website that they're co-sponsoring an event at the local library for free comic book day. I assume that's in addition to the store. I mean, I'm 95% sure, but I'm not 100% sure. I hope so, because usually World's Greatest in the past has allowed for 4 free comics per person, meaning 8 for me, because being married is awesome. Now, World's Greatest on Free Comic Book Day opens at 10. We shoot to get there around 11. And we'll probably follow pretty much the same schedule we did last time, which was after World's Greatest to go to Crazy Comics, that's Crazy with a K, which is about 10 minutes from World's Greatest, and they don't open until 11. So the timing works out well there. Now, after that, we're going to swing back to the part of town where Phil lives with his dad, also named Phil. Yes, it's a little confusing. And grab a lunch somewhere in between. Now, near them, near where the Phils live, is a third comic store, Capital City Comics, as in Columbus, the capital of Ohio. Now, depending how the first few trips go, I may stop by that one as well. Now, this was a store that me and M considered, must have been 5, 6, 7 years ago, when we were looking for an LCS, when we were getting ready to start a pull box. And like I said, we settled on World's Greatest because Cap City, even though it was closer to us, I mean, mostly they didn't have quarter bins. That certainly at the time was a huge advantage to World's Greatest. But also, World's Greatest has just about the best customer service I've ever run across, especially in a comic book store. While Cap City was just, you know, just think of the stereotypical comic shop. And that's what they were. Now, I have found some books that I've been looking for from my want list a few times at Cap City. I mean, I do stop by maybe once or twice a year. But more recently, I've been buying the issues of the Lady Mechanica miniseries from there, from Cap City. Partly because, like I said, they're close. And also because, towards the end of last year, they bought a collection that included about 30 sci-fi short story digests from the 70s. And at a buck a piece, I've been grabbing 4 or 5 of them each time I pick up a new issue of Lady Mechanica. And I know that Cap City has done the big blowout free comic book day event, you know, the big parties and the face painting and the balloons and all of that stuff in the past. Now, I don't know what they're going to be doing for this first May event post-pandemic. So I don't know how big their event is going to be, frankly, how crowded their store is going to be, how long their line is going to be. But I may stop by there for free comics and cheap sci-fi magazines, which to me is a combo that is hard to beat. Now, in terms of what I want to get this year from Free Comic Book Day, I'll be honest, I don't have a want list or a need list. I haven't even looked at the offerings. The plan, such as it is just to see what the day brings. So I'm looking forward to the adventure, free of any expectations. So let's take another break here, and when we come back, I will talk to you after my Free Comic Book Day adventures, and I'll talk about the stores we visited and all of the comics that I nabbed, however many or few that ends up being. And we're back. So, all three of us ended up on our adventures. That part worked out fine. Mrs. Quarterbin and I picked up her brother, and we started out at World's Greatest Comics. And as I figured, the event at the local public library was in addition to the store. Now, about 4 years ago, they moved from one location in their shopping center to another much larger spot. And it's nice. It's really noticeable here because they were busy on Free Comic Book Day. The store was, you know, fairly crowded when we arrived, but there was room to move, which there wasn't always at FCBDs in the past at the smaller shop. World's Greatest is generous on Free Comic Book Day, allowing 4 free issues per person. So I got 8. Thank you, Valerie. And Phil got 4. Phil also needed to buy a short box, and I grabbed one. But as we were checking out, the owner, Jeff, took a look at it and asked, "Are you sure you want a magazine-sized box?" Because I was in a hurry, and I grabbed the wrong one. But like I said before, excellent customer service, and we ended up with the right size of box. Thank you, Jeff. I took some pictures of us from there. We were all wearing appropriate T-shirts. Phil in Justice League, Valerie in Wonder Woman, and myself in a shirt bearing the glorious visage of a certain Latverian hero. And at World's Greatest, I got a selfie of myself, that's a bit redundant, and a celebrity. They had a Harley Quinn cosplayer, and don't worry, she was in one of Harley's more family-appropriate outfits. From there, we headed to Crazy Comics, crazy with a K, and 2 Z's because comics. That was a store that I discovered early in the COVID days when a list of black-owned comic shops went around the internet. And when I saw that we had one here in Columbus, I figured that was a way that I could do some good with my capitalism, spend some money there. For Free Comic Book Day, they offered 2 books each, but Valerie gave her 2 to her brother, which didn't make sense to me. Something about knowing him a lot longer than she's known me. I don't get it. But that gave me a total of 10 free comics on the day, and Phil ending up with 8. So that was good for all of us. And Crazy does normally have dollar bins in the back of their store, but for Free Comic Book Day, they were 50 cents each. That is, of course, way too expensive for coverage on this podcast. But I do want to mention the dozen books that I nabbed at that sale at that let's be honest, pretty good price. These will be discussed in future installments of the Comics Reading Journal. So what I got from there was three more issues of Aria, a book I talked about a few months ago for Fantasy Comics Month when I read issue one, and from Eclipse, Man of War, number one, and a pair of issues of Roy Thomas's Arrak with art by Ron Randall, and then five issues of Claw the Unconquered, three from the 1970s run, the original run, issues 7, 8, and 9. And anytime I see Bronze Age books for a good price, those are obvious buys. And one of these even had the DC Salutes the Bicentennial ribbon across the top, which just adds to the nostalgia. I also picked up issues 5 and 6 of the Wildstorm run of Claw, written by the excellent Chuck Dixon. And a total obvious purchase, Flash 229, coming in at a cool 100 pages. I don't want to ruin my reputation, but I probably would have been willing to pay a full buck for that one. Just let's keep that between us, okay? Now, that was the end of the day, but it was not the end of my acquisitioning of FCBD 2022 books. As I mentioned, Cap City Comics, and we ended up not going there on Saturday. We had done pretty well for ourselves at this point, so even though it was the first Saturday in May, man, it felt like the first Saturday in March. It's chilly, a little wet. We'd had lunch. We'd gotten a lot of free books, so we just took Phil back to his place and then headed home. But I did hit Cap City on the Wednesday following, not for Free Comics Day, but for New Comics Day, when Lady Mechanica number 4 came out. So I picked up that issue and five more dollar sci-fi magazines. And also, they have a table at the front of the store that you see on the way out, which has freebies on it. Flyers for upcoming conventions, information about cosplay guilds and podcasts, but also preview books, giveaways, and past Free Comic Book Day issues. And I thought there was a chance, and they did. It was sort of under everything else, but they had some FCBD books from this year as well. And I ended up nabbing three more on my way out of the store for a grand total of a baker's dozen of free comics for this year. And so here, in the main section of the episode, I'm going to talk about each one for about a minute or two, I guess, going in alphabetical order. Although, I guess technically, we'll start with numerical ordering. So from all the way across the pond, 2000 AD, which seems like a couple decades in the past for a futuristic title, but who am I to judge? The theme of this best of issue is future shock, which is described on the inside cover as the shattering disorientation and psychological stress caused in humans by an accelerated rate of technological and social change. We start, of course, with a Judge Dredd story, a six-pager written by Al Ewing. Being short, it has to be simple, a quick in and out. But I thought the political chat show format was not my favorite setting, no room for nuance. But it did end with irony, and that worked well enough, I suppose. There were two more short stories, and then the start of a continuing story. The best of those was Super Bean. That's right. Look up in the sky. Is it a turnip? Is it a radish? No. It's Super Bean. I also like Journey to the Edge of the Earth, in which an expedition sets out to prove that the world is flat and learns the shocking truth that I'm actually not going to spoil here. One of the nice things about this and about the few issues of 2000 AD that I've read is that not only are the stories written in different and interesting ways, but the art styles vary quite a bit as well. So for an anthology, it tends to be a pretty easy, or maybe pleasant, a very pleasant read. And from Archie, the best Archie comic ever, number zero. This is both a sneak preview of upcoming happenings in the Archie world, and also contains a few best-of reprints, although from recent issues. There's a through line in the story, Jug and Betty having a chat, but that serves as the framing sequence or sequences for these little episodes, those little cameos we have. We have Archie as Pureheart the Powerful, the Little Archie gang having a variety of conversations about Santa Claus. The best moment here, and in the entire issue, is Archie's dad speaking the truth to his son. Sometimes, when a kid ends up on Santa's naughty list, their parents will put presents in the stockings and, you know, pretend they're from Saint Nick. Because, you know, some child are so spoiled, yes, like Veronica and Reggie, that they might throw a tantrum if they actually found the empty stocking that they deserve. And what parent wants to deal with that on Christmas morning? We also have bits from an upcoming Sabrina series, a summer romance special, and other upcoming issues, but it is hard to beat Fred Andrews' parental wisdom. And a kid's character that came along just after M was moving out of this age, the one, the only, Captain Underpants! Actually, this is a Scholastic comic that includes previews not just for the Captain, but for Dogman and the Cat Kid Comic Club, all written and illustrated by Dav Pilkey. And I can see why these books work, why these are uber popular in the public library and Scholastic book club spaces. I think I like the Cat Kid the most, but as a cat person, maybe I'm biased. So I am glad I read these, and in each case, this is the first time I'd ever read anything from those particular characters. And again, I can see why they are popular. You know, if you were to come up with a title to mock a big DC event, you know, a fake title that you would use as a joke, you couldn't do much better, much funnier than Dark Crisis. So when I was scanning the table at FCBD and saw DC Dark Crisis, I had to stifle a sarcastic chuckle. I guess it could have been Dark Rebirth Crisis. That would have been sillier. But anyway, I guess it seems that the Justice League are dead. And the question we have to answer is, can a new generation of heroes save the multiverse? You see, I jumped out of DC 3 years ago or so, I guess. I know it was before COVID. And even towards the end, I was down to just a few titles. So specific details of what's going on in the current DCU, or for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, I just don't know what that is. And what I got from this issue was a pretty good Flash versus Clayface battle. And then a couple of stories that include huge panels displaying scores of heroes from across the history of the DCU. That's good stuff. Great stuff in some cases, because the legacy of DC having characters for 80 years, that's one of their strengths. So why not lean into that? I get the impulse. I think I approve of the impulse. But beyond that impulse, okay, include your own Flash family jokes here. But beyond that, without knowing what's going on, I don't think I'm going to jump right in. I'll pay attention to the noise about this event. And if I'm so inclined, they will be there for me later in the app, just waiting. Just in time for the announcement of a new Doctor. The Titan Doctor Who offering showcases the fugitive Doctor portrayed by Joe Martin. This is the start of a new adventure, featuring a team-up between her and the First Doctor. But he doesn't show up until the final two pages, along with Susan as his companion. So we spend most of this issue with the Fugitive Doctor, doing some work for Division, work that takes her to Earth in 1962, maybe her first visit to the planet. Seems that way. She visits the clubhouse of a group of kids whose floppy-haired, troll-like dolls are in fact alien overlords, including Monsterio the Devourer. Good interactions with the kids, and while I always prefer a complete adventure versus the start of a serial, and Doctor Who goes back and forth on that strategy for FCBD, this was pretty good. Like most of Titans' Doctor Who comics have been for years now since they got the license, this is pretty good. Titan does take an interesting approach to the production side of Free Comic Book Day books, or at least this one for this year. They use high-quality paper on the insides, which kind of hides the fact, because it's a pretty heavy comic. So it hides the fact that instead of the standard 8 sheets of paper, for an issue, this is only 5 sheets, or 20 folded pages, 14 of which are story, and that ratio is not bad. But it is a way to save the costs on a comic book for which you are earning very little revenue. The stores do have to pay for Free Comic Book Day books, but I don't know that it's full price, and I would imagine that a physically shorter book like this would be produced on the low side. Again, I don't know that. That is pure hypothesis. And then from Disney, and I mean actual legacy Disney, not Marvel Disney, we have Donald Duck, which is a full 32 pages of content. Take that, Doctor Who! Only the back cover and an inside back cover had house ads promoting upcoming collections of comics based on Darkwing Duck, the Rescue Rangers, and the entire line of Afternoon Adventures, which actually sound pretty good. But this comic itself contains reprints of 4 stories from around the world, including one that originally appeared in the U.S. We have a 12-page story featuring Donald and Scrooge about dreams and nightmares and $1 million. A fun super goof story. I know every super goof story is really fun. Another Donald story, this one with Cousin Feathery. And then a 3-pager with the Big Bad Wolf. Good stories, good selection. I think good curation of stories. And of course, I think I already mentioned this, a really fun super goof story. That was the highlight of what really was a very solid comic. Well worth the price of free. And then one from Humanoids, the Incal universe. This is the sci-fi world created by Alejandro Jodorowsky, best known for his work in film, including a failed attempt to produce a Dune movie. Those struggles are documented in the movie Jodorowsky's Dune. In the original Incal comic from the early 80s, if I remember right, Detective John Dyfool stumbles across an unbelievably powerful artifact, and over a number of comic collections, many tales are told. This issue includes a reading list for those original series, sort of a checklist, which I think is always a helpful idea. What Humanoids is planning to do with this title is create a series of OGNs set in this universe, and this issue contains some excerpts from those. It's an interesting sci-fi world, but I'm not sure that I'm ready to jump right into it just yet. And an excerpt from the very popular genre of graphic memoir, It Won't Always Be Like This, written and drawn by Malaka Garib. This is the story of an American girl who moves to Egypt to live with her father and his new wife. The excerpt is very good and kind of like Captain Underpants, albeit in a completely different way, I can see why this type of genre is popular. The graphic format makes it accessible to younger kids, and the nature of the story itself I could see as being meaningful to a good amount of kids and tweens. And a preview for one of my most anticipated movies of the year, and I am not kidding, from DC, League of Super Pets. Ever since we did that audio drama a few years ago with the Super Pets on the Shortbox Showcase, I've had a soft spot for the pets. My favorite is Ace, the Bat Hound, whose origin story I've read, I would say, 17 million times, because it was in the epic hardcover collection Batman from the 30s to the 70s. The team of Super Pets is led by Crypto and Ace, along with the Green Lantern Chip, who I wouldn't really consider Jessica Cruz's pet, but I'll let that slide, and a bunch of obscure or maybe made-up pets and animals related to characters like Wonder Woman, Cyborg, and Aquaman. Which means that, yes, I'm so sorry, Dr. Ange. There appears to be no Streaky. I am shocked by this oversight as well, as a fan of Streaky and a supporter of your role, Dr. Ange, as Supergirl's best friend on the internet, and also as a cat person. This comic is outrageous. The movie is potentially outrageous. But still, I can't help but look forward to it. And from Disney, this time new modern Disney, if you will, if you know what I'm saying, Marvel Judgment Day, their big summer event, featuring the Avengers, X-Men, and the Eternals. And I'm pretty sure that they're all going to be battling each other at various points. There's one bit about this that I like, one of the jumping off points. And that is that the mutants living on Krakoa have conquered death. They have perfected the art of the resurrection, which has captured the attention of the Eternals, seeing as they don't like anyone getting in on their game of being eternal. So this is an event, like all of the modern X-books and events, that I'm relying on the X-Lapsed podcast to keep me informed on. So no pressure, Mr. Sheehan. And since I've already mentioned numerous times in this episode that I am a cat person, it should come as no surprise that one of the issues I picked up was Max Meow, Cat on the Street. As the cover proclaims, he's a hero with catitude. That's right, Max is the superhero, the Cat Crusader, who along with his friend Mindy, in her guise as Science Kitty, protect the city of Kittyopolis. And in the lead story in this issue, they face a giant metal penguin who is stealing the giant cake from the Kittyopolis Cake Festival. And we get a sneak preview of an upcoming adventure where they take on Trash Panda. And to be fair, Trash Panda is not really a bad guy. He just gets really mad at trash. Gets a little angry about it and sometimes loses control. It's an absolutely delightful issue, or as the kids say these days, adorbs. And an interesting issue from AWA Upshot, Primos. I don't know if this carries forward into the regular issues of the title, but the story in here is presented both in English in the first half of the book and then Spanish in the second half. And that is appropriate for this story. So it features brothers and sisters of Hispanic descent receiving powers from, well, let's go with Space Mayans. As the writer El Madrigal says in the text piece in this issue, we have built a world that has deep roots in Maya history, is relevant to today's world, and I think manages to be unique among comics. So interesting story, and if the trades show up on Hoopla at some point, I would be interested. You know, comic book licensing, at least in the U.S., is weird. Because when you get the license for a property, you don't just get future rights to create. You also, at least often, you also get the rights to reprint older issues, even if those were published by a different publisher. The strangest example I've run across is when DC Comics published a Showcase Presents volume of Doc Savage, which reprinted all of the issues of the Marvel magazine run of Doc Savage. So DC produced a reprint volume of stuff that their main competitor originally produced. So strange, but that's the way it is with licenses. And all of that brings me to my final Free Comic Book Day 2022 issue from Dynamite Comics, Red Sonja. However, the bulk of this issue is a reprint of Marvel Feature number 4 from the early 1970s. And the house ads in here advertise both the new adventures being produced by Dynamite, but also their reprint program, which reprints the earlier Marvel issues of the character. So very strange. This was an excellent issue, of course. Who doesn't love Red Sonja? But it was strange. Like, legal stuff. Even when I understand it, when I know what the law says, even then, often, I just don't get it. And that is all of them, all of the Lucky 13 comics I picked up for Free Comic Book Day 2022. The verdict on Free Comic Book Day 2022, it was free, it was comics, and again this year, for me, it was family. How can you beat that? So of course, Free Comic Book Day is always a good day, whatever the circumstances are, but this one, 13 issues, for the most part, pretty solid, especially good. And that wraps up my coverage of Free Comic Book Day 2022, bringing episode 183 of the Quarter Bin Podcast to a close, with this being the first May FCBD in 3 years. Being so out of practice for this, you know, the industry, the stores, customers, I don't know how successful or how big this FCBD was. But if you were part of the crowd this year, if you got any of these books through mail order, I'd love to hear some feedback about what you picked up, what you liked and didn't like, etc. I did see on Twitter that friend of the network, Tom Panarese, you may know him as Stella's intern on the Required Reading podcast. He and his son did some Free Comic Book Day events in Charlottesville. If anyone else did, feel free to write in and tell your story. Next time for episode 184, which will occur during Adventure Comics Month in June, we'll be looking at Creatures on the Loose 26, featuring Thangor, from Marvel Comics, cover dated November 1973. And if all goes as planned, I will not be alone. If you have any questions or comments about this episode or the podcast, or like I said, your experiences with Free Comic Book Day 2022, feel free to contact me. Until next episode, I'm Professor Allen, and I'll see you in the Quarter Bin.
The Quarter Bin Podcast is part of the Relatively Geeky family of podcasts. Show notes and links are available at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com, where the podcasts Uncovering the Bronze Age and Shortbox Showcase also make their home. Links to Facebook and Twitter are there as well. Feedback for the show is welcome at relativelygeeky@gmail.com. And if you like what we've got going here, please leave a review and a rating in iTunes. It'll help more people discover the show. Thanks again for listening.